spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
May all your heart be Israel, Shalom Shema Israel.
The Eternal Life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Life. This public service program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. We bring you today the third of a group of three programs based on the celebrated Joseph books of Thomas Mann. First, we presented young Joseph last week, Joseph in Egypt, and today, Joseph the Provider. The dramatization is by Arthur Aaron and features Paul Mann as Joseph.
And it came to pass that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And he called unto him his wise men and his soothsayers. And he commanded them, Interpret me my dream. And they were unable. And then the vizier stood forward and spoke unto Pharaoh.
O mighty one, there is a youth now in prison, a Syrian unbeliever, who did interpret me a dream with ease and truthfulness. And exactly as he said it, thus did it come to pass.
And Pharaoh's command went forth, Bring me this unbeliever. And so it came to pass that Joseph emerged from the pit and stood before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said,
Come nearer, my friend, come quite near. You're not afraid. That's good to see. For many, the heart turns over when they stand before Pharaoh. Their knees give way and they cannot distinguish life from death. Tell me, are not even dizzy?
I am not, my lord.
Strange. Well, now, they say of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Is this true?
It is true, my lord, but only in a manner of speaking. It is not I who do this. It is God alone. And he seeth fit to do it sometimes through me.
So be it. I dreamed I stood on the bank of a river. There was a rippling noise, and seven shapes mounted from the stream. They moved in a straight line, one behind another. Seven fine, smooth, fat cows with bursting udders. Not in all Egypt was there the like of these magnificent beasts. And suddenly, my pleasure gave way to horror and fear. For out of the water came seven more, and these were the ugliest, leanest, most starveling cows that man ever beheld. Their bones stood out of their wrinkling hides, and their udders were like dried-out empty bags. And then it happened. For the seven lean kind sprang and leaped upon the healthy ones and devoured them one by one, utterly and completely. And then they stood there, lean as before, waiting. They're listening, Syrian.
I'm listening, my lord.
Oh. Now go on. I had a second dream. I stood on that same bank, and now there was on it a plowed strip of black earth. And suddenly the crust rose, and a stalk came forth. And on this stalk were 1, 2, 7 ears of corn, full, fat, and golden. Yet even as I saw, the stalk kept shooting forth ears, 7 ears more, dead ones, blackened with mildew and blight. And as they pushed out below the others, lo, the fine, large ears vanished as though into the dead, lean ones. And the lean ones grew neither fuller nor better favored than before, but stood there, black and dead. And here my dream ended.
And Pharaoh would have me interpret this dream.
I would. But first, a word of warning. Know thou, Syrian, that this is no game I play, nor is it out of vanity and conceit that I would trouble the world with my nightmares. But there is danger in this dream.
That I feel. Danger to Pharaoh, danger to Egypt. And I move to forestall it. Now I've spoken. Interpret me my dreams.
Not dreams, my lord, but dream. For there was only one dream. Repeat it.
That I knew. Proceed.
The cows came up out of the water. First the fat, and then the lean, so there was no break in the line. Is it not so?
As you say it.
What are they, then, that come up out of the casket of eternity, one after the other, without pause or break? I ask Pharaoh, what are they?
Why, the years, of course.
Even so. And the connection between the fat cows and the lean. What can that be, I wonder?
Why? What? 7 fat years will come, and then 7 lean ones. This is the answer.
Aye. God has granted Pharaoh through this dream a wide survey over time. 14 years of foresight. Let him make use of it.
Foresight, yes. Perhaps thou hast counsel in this.
Pharaoh must heap up provisions of these 7 fat years. New barns and granaries must be built. The cities must be so provisioned that food is laid by. And when the 7 lean years arrive, the food shall be distributed to all.
Distributed? How?
To the poor let it be given away.
Given away?
Even so. But to those who are great and rich, to them let it be sold.
Thou speakest with wisdom beyond thy years. And who shall arrange this selling? Hast given thought to this also?
Aye, that have I done. It shall be the wisest man among thy counselors. One with the understanding heart.
The understanding heart?
He must be filled with foresight and courage, for he will make many enemies. Him let Pharaoh appoint and set him over the land of Egypt, saying, be as myself.
Be as myself. The phrase pleases me. Proceed.
And he shall husband the abundance as long as it is, and feed the dearth when it comes.
Come here, my friend. Come nearer to Pharaoh. What art thou called?
Joseph, my lord.
Listen then, Joseph, and be not afraid. There shall be a man who is chief overseer over all, into whose hand the highest power shall be given. And he shall be known as the provider. And this man, Joseph, thou art this man.
And thus did it come about that Joseph was placed in position over all save Pharaoh. For 7 years then the winds and the waters gave of their best, and the harvests were rich. And then the Nile failed to rise. It failed once, twice, thrice. And as the story tells it, the dearth was in all the land. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And the cry of the poor came to Joseph. And to them he distributed of his stores for nothing, and again for nothing, that they might not hunger but eat. And Joseph the provider became known through all the land and beyond the borders. It was in the 2nd year of the lean kine that Joseph called unto his presence his assistant, Mai. And Joseph said,
come here, Mai. I must speak to you at once alone.
I am here, Joseph. But what is this? Thou art trembling. Control thyself.
My friend, thou hast inquired of me many times why I have commanded that each man coming into Egypt from afar be recorded, and his name and history be sent me.
That have I done, and never hast thou answered.
Now will I tell thee. It has come. I mean, they have come. My brothers.
My brothers? The ones who thrust thee into the pit and sold thee into slavery?
Aye, even so.
Art thou certain?
Of course. Why else did I give such strict orders for record and reports? The sons of Jacob come to buy corn in Egypt. It is the brothers, my friend, all 10 of them. And they know not before whom they will be brought.
Thou speakest of 10, yet have I heard from thine own lips of 11.
According to this list, the little Benjamin remains at home with the father.
Little? Joseph, thou makest me to smile with thy little. 20 years or more it is since.
But to me, he is still my one true brother. The youngest of 12, and the favorite. My... Thinkest thou they will recognize me?
No. 20 years is 20 years. How wilt thou behave when they are brought before thee, Joseph?
My friend, I do not know.
Art thou a man of forgiveness or a man of revenge?
I know not what kind of man I am. One does not know beforehand. When the time comes, it is all clear enough, but at this moment I have no idea. And that, my friend, is what maketh me to tremble.
And it came to pass that the brothers appeared before Joseph in the great hall of his palace, and they fell upon their faces in obeisance. And Joseph devoured them with his eyes, but his tongue was harsh as he said,
So many, 10 all at once. Why not 11 or 12? Why not an entire army? Speak!
O great provider, who is as Pharaoh, our hearts praise with one voice him who nourishes the world, without whom no man can breathe. Our voices raise up...
Never mind that. Answer the question.
We are all 10, the sons of one father, my lord, come from the shadow of the walls of Hebron to purchase grain that our families may not hunger and die.
Stop! Who is that speaking? Who is the little man with the moist lips?
I am Asher, by your favor, my lord.
Why speakest thou? Why not that tall tower over there, that hulking one? Thou, what name bearest thou?
I am Reuben, my lord.
Thou seemst by far the most intelligent. Why speakest thou not?
It is the custom, my lord, that when a matter concerns us all, it is Asher who takes the word.
So... As I look at you, it does not escape my penetration that you, who are supposed to be brothers, are very different among yourselves. This one here, this mouthpiece...
Asher, my lord...
Looks like the man over there in the short coat, the wild-looking one. And the one beyond, with eyes like a snake, not unlike the one standing beside him. The one who hops up and down on one leg like an idiot. And several of you... Look not like anything at all. Nor like each other, even. It is suspicious. Very suspicious.
Verily, you see all, my lord. Likenesses and differences are due to our being from different mothers. But we are one man's son, Jacob, your servant, who begot us and sent us to you to buy bread.
He sent you to me. And he is still alive.
By your favor, he lives, my lord.
Who speaks now?
I am called Judah, O Mighty One, and bear witness to my brother's words. Our father, who is 80 or 90 or perhaps older...
In good health, I suppose.
For his age, excellent, my lord.
Good. Continue.
As I was saying, we are all one man's son, 10 of the 12, and we come...
What's this? 12 now? Before you said 10.
It is as you say, my lord. 12 sons are we, and the 12th, the youngest brother, stays at home with our father.
And the 11th, where is he?
Gone, Lord, in his early years. Rent by a wild beast and killed.
But don't say. And the youngest remains with the father. It is his poor health that holds him there, no doubt.
No, my lord. He is very healthy.
And now... Will my lord sell us the grain that we may depart in thankfulness?
No. That will I not. Furthermore, be it known that I credit not a word of this brother nonsense. How can I? You and your brothers that look not alike, you are 10 and then you are 12. What contradictions? You have need of further rehearsal.
But, my lord, if we are not brothers, what then are we?
Spies. Spies. Who come to ferret a land that you may reveal it to Pharaoh's enemies.
Silence!
You shall have opportunity to prove your innocence. Bring me this youngest brother. Bring him to me, I say. And you shall have all the grain you can carry.
And in 3 days, the brothers came again in the great hall before the chair of Joseph the Provider. This time, their obeisance was even greater. They not only bowed down, they prostrated themselves and pressed their foreheads to the ground. And Joseph said,
enough. You can get around neither me nor my suspicions with bowings and scrapings. So long as you have not brought me the evidence and set it here before me, you are one and all guilty.
What evidence, my lord?
The proof of this brother nonsense. Well, where is he?
Where is who, my lord?
The youngest of you all, this 12th brother, this Benjamin or whatever you call him.
It is Benjamin. Strange, my lord, that thou speakest his name. For I recall not thou mentioning it.
Of course you mentioned it.
As thou sayest, my lord, still I recall not...
Silence! Having... What am I, then? Clairvoyant? This is amusing, is it not, my...
Very amusing indeed, your worship.
Enough of this. Enough. Can you produce this brother, that this incredible story may be corroborated?
No, my lord. That we cannot. For the youngest is at home in Hebron, and it will take many months for us to journey thither and return.
What are months to me? You shall go to Hebron and you shall return. You have indeed another brother, then you will bring him with you.
And if we do not return, what then?
Then will I know you are spies, and you shall be punished accordingly.
Excuse me, my lord, but how can you punish us if we do not return?
Easy. One of you shall remain here with me. And if you return not, then this one... Well, perhaps I'd better not say what will happen to him.
And it was indeed as Joseph said. For Simeon remained in Egypt, and the brothers went home to Hebron. And in a year they returned again, and with them was the youngest, Benjamin. And Joseph sat beside them all at dinner, but always at Joseph's right hand was this same Benjamin. And to him Joseph said,
it seems that thou and my brothers are not spies, and I was mistaken.
A pardonable error, my lord. May I speak?
By all means.
It is only that my lord may gratify my curiosity. Tell me, how dost thou know our years, that thou seatest us in order of age, from Reuben the firstborn down to me, the youngest?
Oh, it is quite simple. Seest thou this silver cup? The king of Babylon presented it to Pharaoh's father, and so it came to my lord and master, who presented it to me. It is a magic cup. In it I can read the mysteries of the world, the past and the future. For instance, my mother's name was Rachel. Is it not so?
It is so, my lord.
Shall I describe her grave to you? In the distance are mountains, and near at hand on a slope is your village. There are vineyards on the right, and in the foreground a masonry wall. And there is a mulberry tree growing on the wall, old and partly hollow.
Yes. Yes, but how knowest thou this?
In the cup. And near the tree is the grave with a stone marker. What is this? I
see someone kneeling there. He has brought food and water and unleavened bread. Tell me, is that not thy mother's grave?
It is. It is hers. Canst see in the cup this someone more distinctly?
Aye, that I can. He is young, about 17. He wears some kind of bright-colored garment, a cloak with figures woven on it.
That is my dear brother, Joseph.
Thou didst love this brother, then? Hmm?
With all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my...
Why art thou staring at me thus? Answer, Benjamin. What art thou thinking?
Nothing. For a moment I had a feeling, a recollection. No, it is nothing. I finished eating, my lord. I will leave now.
And Benjamin went to his room disturbed and confused. Dizzy, in fact. But by what, he knew not. Was it an intuition, a flash of recollection? Did the love of these two brothers penetrate the fog of 22 years, communicating itself from the one to the other? And after the brothers, all 11, had departed for Hebron, Mai, the assistant, turned to Joseph, his master, and said,
"Well, now they are gone, what now?"
"They will return."
"How knowest thou they will return?"
"I know, because I have arranged it. Look you, my friend, what I have done. I have caused to be placed in Benjamin's sack the silver cup Pharaoh gave me. Even now are my brothers, charged with thievery and suffering much anguish, being escorted here by a company of outriders. And when they return, then will I tell them who I am."
And when they were returned unto his presence, Joseph upbraided them, branding them thieves and ungrateful barbarians. And he said further that Benjamin, the guilty one, must remain in Egypt and be punished. The others were free to return to Hebron. And through it all, the hard looks and the tongue-lashing, Benjamin was somehow serene. There was a warmth, a bubbling in his heart, and he knew not why. But Judah spoke up and said,
"My lord, it was I who said unto Jacob our father, 'Give Benjamin into my hand. I will vouch for his care. If I bring him not home to Hebron again, let the curse be on my head.' Such, my lord, was my vow. Now judge whether I can go back to my father without the youngest."
"The guilty must be punished."
"My lord, I ask not for a gift. Accept this offer. Me shall you keep for your bondsman in place of Benjamin. I myself will expiate for all of us. Listen, O mighty one, for here and now I take the fearful oath which once we brothers swore. With both hands I take that oath and break it in two across my knee. Listen then, for this was our sin. Once there was an 11th brother, the father's ewe lamb, first son of Rachel, and his name was Joseph. And we, his brothers, sold him in slavery to the Ishmaelites."
What more is there to say? There were tears in Joseph's eyes, and his hands trembled. And he stretched out his arms and cried,
"Brothers, here I am. I am your brother, Joseph."
Thus he spoke to them, and at first they stared, unbelieving. And then they laughed and wept together, and stretched out their hands as he stood among them and touched him. And he, too, caressed them with his hand.
Now we take pleasure in presenting On the Eternal Light, a brief talk by Rabbi Nathan Perelman of Temple Emmanuel, New York City. Rabbi Perelman.
In this beautiful dramatization of the story of Joseph, we heard that the affairs of Egypt must be entrusted to a man with an understanding heart. These words recall the prayer which our own President Harry S. Truman uttered when the mantle of leadership in our country fell upon him. Here indeed is what we need above all else to meet the challenges of today and the responsibilities of tomorrow. The gifts of hand and head we seem to possess in great measure. It is a commonplace to say that in dealing with things we have been eminently successful. There is no tool we cannot make, no distance we cannot traverse, no obstacle we cannot blast away. We can make life last longer or destroy it quicker than man has ever been able to do in his long history of making life and destroying it. Our heads are good, too. The vivid imaginations of the past, which conjured up universes of wonder and marvel, never approach the realms in which modern science labors in a matter-of-fact manner. We know the nature of things and of man and of places and of people. Yes, hands and heads are good. Our difficulty is with our hearts. We have not acquired the understanding heart, through which alone we can bring spiritual and moral solutions to the problems of life. And in the days that lie ahead, our leaders and our people will need it greatly. We shall need this understanding heart to save us from weariness of both flesh and spirit. We shall need it to make us feel that our responsibilities did not end when the last shot was fired. We shall need it to feel our kinship with the little peoples of the world. Even now, when they have ceased to be our beneficiaries in the fight for humanity or our allies in the war against evil, we shall need an understanding heart at home, too, to reestablish in ordinary peacetime ways the millions of men and women who have been uprooted and now must be redirected to the needs of rebuilding our world. We shall need it to impress upon our hearts that the slogans used in the war were not just inventions of morale builders, but were the true aims and purposes toward which civilized peoples strive. We need an understanding heart to deal with the weak and helpless and disfranchised in our own midst, even as we have sacrificed and bled to help such as these in every part of the world. Give us then, O Heavenly Father, an understanding heart, that we may know how to go about the serious affairs of our time, and that we may forever assure a righteous and enduring peace for all mankind.
Thank you, Rabbi Perelman. The Eternal Light has brought you today the last of three important programs based on the Joseph books of Thomas Mann. Today we have presented Joseph the Provider. This program was presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and came to you as a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. Paul Mann was featured as Joseph the Provider. This is the National Broadcasting Company.